I want to share with you today about being grounded and not moved. Colossians chapter 1. So going to Colossians chapter 1, and I want to break this verse down, verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. I want to do the first part of this. I want to do this breakdown really kind of word by word. And I want to, something I don't do very often in fellowship, but I think it was a good thing to do this time. There's Colossians. The word continued. I'm not going to try to pronounce all the Greek words, although it's epimeno. This word continued, it says, if you continue. So it's conditional. If you continue. The word continue means to stay at or with, all right, to tarry still, to still abide, still to abide, to continue, to remain, to tarry at place, to persevere or to continue. These are all the words and the meanings of this simple word continue, all right? And this word here is in the present tense. And that's a simple statement of fact. It's in the active voice. And the active voice represents the individual, the subject, as being the doer, the performer of the action. This is what you do. You continue. You persevere. You make it happen. Okay? And then it's in the indicative mood, which is also a simple statement of fact. You are the one who is to continue, to persevere. The next word, you continue in the faith, grounded. The word grounded is to lay the foundation of, to make stable, to establish. And this word is completely different in the thing. It's in the perfect. It's in the perfect tense. And that corresponds, the perfect tense corresponds in English. It describes an action which is viewed having been done or completed in the past once and for all, never having to be done again. You are to be grounded in this action that has been done in the past. Now, we're going to look at the book of Colossians. Colossians teaches us what Christ did. Colossians tells us what he accomplished and that we are to keep him head. You know, he is the head of the body, and we're to keep him, our master, our Lord, the head. So this is not hard, but this one verse has all of this in it. So we are to be grounded in what has been done for us. This one time, it never needs to be done again. It's all been accomplished and done. Just from one little word. And it's also in the passive voice, which meant it has been done. It's an action that has been done. And the individual is the recipient of this action. And it's a participle, which means ing or ed. So if you continue, if you yourself continue, this is your action in the faith, and you are grounded. You're grounded in the foundation of what has been done for you. And then the next word here that I want to do is settled. This word settled Remember, this will only take a minute more, but I just wanted to do it this way. This word settled is to sit, to be sediment, not moved. You just pluck yourself right down on this and stay. All right. You're to be grounded in what has been done for you and just stay there, settled. And that's also in the present tense. It's a simple statement of fact. You just stay there. It's to be stay steadfast, to stay settled. And then the last words that I want to look at is the word moved away. And this is an interesting word. And really probably the reason that I decided to do things this way. So would it be settled, would it stay put and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel? This word to be moved away is metakitos, and it's an outside force. It's something from the outside moving you away. It's in the present tense. So it's happening. It's in the passive voice. And you are the recipient of this action. Somebody's trying to push you away. But it's an outside force. So you're to continue. All right. This is up to you. You continue. All right. Just go through this whole thing. So if you continue, which you have to do yourself in the faith, and you be grounded, in what has been done for you already. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. There's none other but him. And then you settle. You just sit there and be not moved away from the things that are trying from the outside to get you away from this. And everything in this world is trying to move you away from what has been done for you. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. So you go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. If everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, in verse 20 it says, and be built and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the foundation. Everything that he did, the apostles, the prophets, they built upon. And we are to continue to build upon what he's doing. He's the head. He is the one who has done this thing. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the one who has accomplished everything for us. What's our job? It's a conditional job. You have to do it. It's you if you continue in the faith. That is what we have to do in that verse in Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1 again. In verse 18, Now, when you take a verse and you look at the Greek words, or you look at anything in a particular verse, it all has to be interpreted in light of the context of the book and in light of the context of the chapters around it. That's why we can look at different things that our Lord has done in different sections of Scripture, but really Colossians tells us everything that we need to know about this verse. And right here, it says in verse 18, chapter 1, it says, "And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." It pleases God that everything that he, the Almighty God, his Father, did, he gave to the Lord. He made him head of the body of Christ. You know, we confess if we're Christians, we choose to say we're Christians, that means you keep Jesus Lord of your life. You know, if you can say you're a bottle of peanut butter, that don't make it so. The same thing with saying you're a Christian. Unless he's Lord, unless you're doing what he said, unless you're obeying him, then you call yourself anything you want, but you ain't. You follow me? Now, that doesn't mean we're sinless. That doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We make it all the time. That's why we ask God in the name of Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins. Remember the Lord's Prayer? And it's one of the first things he taught. We ask for forgiveness, and he is gracious to forgive. But we got to ask, right? None of us is sinless. That's an absolute fact, a real truth. Look at chapter 2. In verse 7. We're to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then it says, beware. Now it said, don't be moved away, right? Don't allow yourself to be pushed out, to be moved away. Now, remember, I told you that verse 23 said it was from the outside. There are plenty of scriptures in the Bible where you check out, all right, all on your own, where you quit, where you don't choose to stand. There are plenty of places in the Bible where you choose to compromise. This is not what Colossians is talking about. Colossians is talking about, from verse 23, an outside force. There are outside forces that will move you away from the gospel. First thing, there's three of them, all right? There's three different outside forces that are talked about in Colossians. The first one here is, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, which after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Three things, but it's worldly wisdom, okay? Philosophies of men. Now, you can think about Plato, Aristotle. By the way, all those philosophies got into the church, okay? But, you know, I'm not going there. But they all did get into the church. You know, the reason that you have a hell is not because the biblical hell is not the same one that the Greeks had. All right, where you got the underworld. Remember that one, the one they had? That's not the biblical hell. The biblical hell is the grave. It's the kingdom of the grave. It's Sheol. The Greek philosophy is that you have spirits down there and you go down and you descend and you burn forever the underworld. That is outside philosophies. You know, Plato also had seven levels of heaven, you know, where you could ascend. That's the wisdom of men. That's got nothing to do with scripture. And yet so many people fall into that because they are moved away from the truth of God's word. You got to stick with what the word says. No more, no less. You know, it's hard enough. Just read the book. Stick with what it says. Philosophies of men, worldly wisdom, vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments, the first principles of people. You know, like you would think that first principles are good, right? Well, the first principles of the Roman Empire are very different than the first principles that the world runs by today. The first principles of the Chinese government, communist Chinese, are very different from the first principles that we have here. It's all men's stuff. You could say just for us, just in our New York area, right? The first principles, take care of yourself. That's the first principles. Number one. That's the worldly first principles. Take care of number one. Yeah, we got a whole new crop of, I don't know if I want to get into it, but we got a whole new way of thinking coming our way. All right? They're changing everything. They're changing the vocabulary. They're changing the process. They're changing everything. Nothing is unchangeable to these people. Now, the whole world can go this way. Don't get moved away from the gospel. That's the order here from the Lord, the head. He's the head. All right, all this other stuff. Verse 9, right after this, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. There is nothing that should override. Christ is greater than anything on the earth, than any rules of men, than any principles that they have. You have to take what you accept in your life and line it up with the gospel. You line it up with the word of God and with nothing else. And don't get moved away from it. You know, these are outside forces that come your way. The next outside force that comes our way starts in verse 11. It's legalism. You know, that would be much more religious and certainly appropriate for this time, especially, but no less today. It says, verse 11, it says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin, of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. It's not the physical circumcision that separated people out. That was a token. Christ is the one who has circumcised our lives. He is the one. Everything that he did made us acceptable. We were buried with him in baptism, wherein also we were raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and he nailed it to his cross. Jesus Christ did it all for you. So what is there to be done on your end? Continue in the faith. That's what you got to do. Continue in the fact that he is the head. Continue in the fact that he has accomplished it all. Continue in the fact, and don't be moved away. Don't be moved away. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers. See, he took out, he obliterated their authority. Principalities and powers, you can think of it in any way you want, but it's the power of the world, the power of the adversary and his kingdom, but also the power of the governments and everything else that's around. Countries, they're all little to him. He don't care about their rules. He don't care about their regulations. He don't care about anything. You shouldn't care. What you should care about is doing what he says and not compromise it. Do you see what I mean? Let no man therefore judge you. Now, this is on the legalism again. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of holy days or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. See, you belong to the body of Christ. You no longer have to keep the shadowy rituals that were in the Old Testament. You don't have to worry about when a certain day shows up anymore. You know, the new moon. You don't have to worry about the specific aspects of all those things or Sabbaths, all the rest. Sorry, you don't. Christ has done it. He is the Lord of the Sabbath too. And if he's in you, just like they were against him because he did work on the Sabbath day. Remember, he healed people. God forbid. They thought, God forbid this man should heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said to him, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? If you've got Christ in you, if Christ is your head, and you're walking by the Spirit of God within you, then you're not going to be doing anything but what he did. And it'll be just as godly on Sunday as it is on Friday, as it is on Tuesday. Because you're walking with God and Christ is your head. Don't worry about those other things. And don't let other people put you under it. You're cool. Yeah, let's just put it that way. You're cool. Do you have to show up to fellowship on Sunday? I used to, you know, I mean, one of the great things about religion is I heard the line in Robin Hood, the new Robin Hood movie. The cardinal says to the sheriff, he says, the greatest thing or the greatest power in the church is hell. We can scare these people that they're going to hell. I thought that's really a pretty right on line when it comes to religion and it comes to legalism and control. So everybody wants control. You got to show up. That's what I was taught when I was a kid. You got to show up on Sunday. Otherwise, that's a sin. Now, I want to show up when the word's being taught. I want to because I want the word. Not because I'm going to go to hell. You get it? You don't let anybody put you in the bondage that they do. Now, I know this is all sacrilegious. Tough. This is what it's talking about. This is what it's talking about. The third thing that pulls people away. So you got the world wisdom, the way the world does things, how the world thinks. You have legalism and religion. The third one is mysticism. And we got a lot of that running around. We got a lot of that. So in verse 18, it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and in worshiping of angels. Worshiping of angels. You ever see all these little angels running around? They got them around their neck. They got them around to pray into angels. What does the gospel teach us? Who are we to pray to? The Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Did you ever see an angel in there? It's a big book. The few times people tried it, the angel yelled at them and said, don't you be praying to me. I'm just a servant like you. That's mysticism. Let's pray to dead people. Mysticism. Jesus didn't teach that. Ask yourself what Jesus taught. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Who are we praying to? Who Jesus tell us to pray? And what do the Christian churches pray? Jesus, please Jesus. Who did Jesus say to pray to? Come on. Why do you want to add to it? Why do you want to change it? Who do you think you are? See, this is where you get moved away. You know, you just keep pushing and keep pushing. And eventually, you know what? People give. I don't want to be dealing with that. So they give. But they get pushed right out of doing the gospel. And we've been getting pushed for centuries since this has been written. What is it? Does it say? You keep reading this. It's going to talk about being forgiving, loving, caring for one another, taking care of your wife, taking care of your kid, taking care of your husband, doing your job right. Real simple. That's the gospel. As long as you got Christ as your head. You want something else to run your life? People do. That's a choice that each and every one of us have to make. If you continue in the faith. You follow? So let's just read the section here. 18 again. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen. You want to get into things that you don't know about? You want to play? You want to play with the spirit stuff? There are people who play with it all the time. They play not only just with angels. They got little Ouija boards. They got little tarot cards. They got a newspaper. It tells them where the stars are. And let that guide your life. We're talking about mysticism, spiritualism. We're talking about the adversary stuff. Let's get somebody to worship something else besides God. So intruding into those things which they had seen, not vainly puffed up by fleshly minds. You think, oh, this is so cool. I can do this. We got people who used to come to fellowship that do this kind of stuff. Where'd they get that? And what was it that they're supposed to do? And not holding the head, for which all the body, by joint and band, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Therefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. Which things have you indeed a show of wisdom? They look pretty good. They got a show of wisdom. In will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There are people out there say, well, you know, you got to fast forever. You got to stay unmarried. You ought to be celibate because that's spiritual. Where does it say this? It says, whatever you can deal with, deal with. Just move the word. Yep, well, we put that, there's whole religions that, nope, the clergy got to be celibate. And all they got is trouble. Because if you can't deal with it, you can't deal with it. Then get married. If you can, you don't need to be married. Marriage is just a lot of work. Good. But it's work. And that's what the scripture says. I don't only got to be concerned about the Lord. I got to be concerned about my household. I got to be concerned about other people too. And we can think about some of these things. Do what the word teaches. Do what the word teaches. Don't do what organizations teach. What governments teach. I mean, we just went through like a couple of whole years of stuff, right? And now they're changing their tune on everything that they put us through. Do what the word says. God is your protection. God is your sufficiency. God is your provider. God is your healer. It's what he says that brings deliverance. That's primary. Christ has got to be the head running my life. You know, all the ministers in the body, they are to keep the head. They are to keep the head. And then they are to disseminate the same information from the head to the others. Same thing with every household. You know what God did? God put in order. It talks about it here in Colossians 2 later on. It talks about wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, be in obedience. That's in 18, 19, and 20 in chapter 4. You know, there's an godly order to everything that he has done. Every household has got one head. It's called a husband, right? That don't mean he's Archie Bunker or somebody else that you might think of. He's not a rule tyrant. He is the one who's supposed to take care of everybody else, not the one being taken care of. You got women who choose to be subject to their husband. My wife is just as strong as I am. But she has chosen to allow me to lead. Why? Because it's godly. And this is the way God designed it, and it works. And then we are to keep our children in subjection when they were little. We tell them what to do, what to think, how to live. We try to grow them up to be men and women who will be able to do the same with their family. This is a godly, ordained way to do things. Churches are to have pastors, teachers, right? Apostles, prophets. Not committees. Most churches run by committee. Let's vote, see what the preacher ought to teach today. We don't like what he taught last week, so we'll make sure he doesn't do that again. Nobody ever. I wouldn't do this. I would not do it. We don't run it that way. Christ is the head. Those that he gave as gifts in the Bible, they do what he says. It doesn't say that the saints tell the head what to do. Now, how come you got entire, we're talking about almost all Christianity runs by committee and councils. It's not what the gospel teaches. Not what the gospel teaches. You're supposed to be smart enough to find out if the preacher that you got is teaching the Bible. And if he's not, go find a different preacher. That's it. You're the one who votes every time you sit down. Is the guy in front of you doing his best to teach the Bible? Is it the scriptures that you're getting? Or is it something else? By their fruit, you shall know them. This is what the gospel teaches. So don't get moved. There's so many different areas of life we could talk about, right? So many, 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 many different things. But we're not to be moved away from the gospel by outside influences, by what everybody else thinks or what feels good or anything else. Do you follow? You do the gospel. I do it the best I know how to do. I'm not running around giving out spiritual tickets to everybody else who's not doing it the way I want to do it. I ain't a cop. I ain't the spiritual cop. That's not what Christ said to do, is it? You like I said, if you go into a church, if the word is not being taught, I don't care what you think. Is that what was said in the Bible? See, there's people who shop for churches based upon, well, he didn't upset me. Well, don't come here. I'll never go out of my way to upset anybody, but I'm going to tell you what it says. And that might upset you. But you want to shop for a church? There's somebody who doesn't, you know, there are more eloquent people. There are smarter people. There are a whole bunch of other things. The criteria that I look for is I want to go where the word is taught. And if it's not taught, I just quietly pick myself up and go someplace else. That's it. That's called love. And you're responsible for that. You're responsible to judge, you know, to see whether these things are so. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. So if you continue, it's conditional. You got to do that part. But stick on what Jesus Christ has done. Stick on what he has taught, what he has spoken. Live his way. If you're going to be a Christian, then be a Christian. You know, It says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness, your great grace, your tender mercies. I am so grateful, my God, that you've given us your word. I'm so grateful, Father, that you've opened it so that we can look at it and teach it and understand some of these things. There's so much more to understand, Father, and I ask you for your enlightenment. Open the eyes of our understanding, my God, that we might see greater and more wonderful truths. Thank you for your love and goodness, your tenderness, and your great grace. Thank you for your healing wholeness, my God, on my Mary. Thank you for helping her. Thank you for watching over my family, Father, and taking care of them. I ask, Father, that you take care of all of your children that are in need and need healing and so forth, Father. Take care of every single one, but especially those that are being persecuted all around the world. Help them, Father. And help us to take a stand for you. And take care of the men and women who put their lives on the line for us each and every day, Lord. Thank you for your blessing upon them, for the military and the cops and the first responders, my God, for the doctors, the nurses, everybody else in between, my Lord, that serves others. Bless them and their families. And deal with the leaders that are in this world, my God. Deal with every single one of them. Intervene, Father, so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives. I pray these things, my Lord. I love you. Take care of our loved ones, our family. Help us to move the word, my God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.